So there's a lot of healings and deliverings and warnings about things to expect. These are the things that Jesus has taught about in Luke chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. What are Jesus' words which call for action? What do you know of the teaching of Jesus? You might go through it and you say, oh yeah, I knew that. Right now, what comes to mind? If someone asked you, what did Jesus teach about how to live? What would you say? And if we just look at the book of Luke, what are the directive instructions of Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, under the direction of the Holy Spirit? Right? Jesus, born, living, baptized at the Jordan River, and ministry begins because he's filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 5, verse 4. That's the first place that as I was scraping through the gospel according to Luke, I found a do this. Luke chapter 5, verse 4. When he finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out to the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now, when I read that, in the context of the story, I figure it's just about fishing. Jesus tells someone to do something. It seems foolish. It's the daytime. The fish don't come up to the water. And Jesus told him to do it, and then he did it. And what happened? Result. Following the instructions of Jesus. Luke chapter 5, verse 10, Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men. Peter, in the face of Jesus doing miracles, he shudders and he thinks, Lord, I'm a sinful man. He says, don't worry. From now on, you'll be catching men. In verse 14 of chapter 5, he heals a man and he says, go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded for a testimony to them. Okay. In verse 24, Jesus says to a sick man, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home. In verse 27, after all these things have happened, he went out and he came to a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth, and he said to Levi, follow me. The instructions of Jesus. And then in chapter 6, verse 8, Jesus knew their thoughts and he said to the man with the withered hand that was sitting at the front of the church, come here, stand here. And he arose and he stood there. Do you see, there's a person who hears the words of Jesus and puts them into practice. And he comes. And then verse 10, after looking around, he said to him, stretch out your hand. And he did so. And his hand was restored. What if he didn't get up and he was embarrassed? What if when Jesus said, stretch out your hand, he said, I can't stretch out my hand, I have palsy. Who do you think you are? I'm embarrassed, you telling me to stretch out my hand. It's possible that that could have gone that way, isn't it? But Jesus gave instructions, and so a man looking at his hand said, Jesus said to do it. And his hand was healed. These are important things. And then last week, we looked at the Beatitudes. And I didn't say that last week. I forgot that that was a good thing you can say when you're teaching on the Beatitudes. They're attitudes about how to be. They're Beatitudes. Finally got that in there. Luke chapter 6, verse 27 to 31, verse 35 to 38, on giving and loving and how to treat others, even enemies. Luke chapter 6, verse 42, the second half of that verse says, you hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the speck that's in your brother's eye. And then in verse 44 and 45 of chapter 6, if there's sin which you count as fruit, you're a bad tree. That's a paraphrase. Sin fills your heart, and it comes out of you. From the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can't get good fruit from a bad tree. You can't get bad fruit from a good tree. So if there's sin which you count as fruit, you're a bad tree. Are you doing something that God said don't do here in this church today? That's bad fruit. And if you say, oh, it's for a good reason, you're a bad tree, making bad fruit. making excuses for it. There's no room for sin in this place. You don't say, I'm a Christian and God forgives me, so I'll just do a little bit of that. Unacceptable. Now, this room is full of sinners, so you're all convicted. Like, wow, did you just say that to me? Thanks a lot. I came to church for this, right? That's not the point. You are a sinner, and you have failed, and you know that you're a sinner, and God knows that you know. And when you turn to God and you say, Father in heaven, I've sinned, forgive me, there's forgiveness in Jesus' name. But for life besetting and persistent sin that is against the teaching of Jesus Christ, that you are not sorry for, that you are allowing in your life, where is there forgiveness for that? If we say that we have no sin, we call God a liar. That's what John teaches us in the first letter of John, chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then further on, if we say that we have no sin, we call God a liar. So what is your heart filled with? Last night or this morning, what food did you put into your heart? And from the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. The actions of your life betray what you believe and how you live. So we're reading this gospel according to Luke, and Jesus' authority is established through healings and through deliverance. Everybody knows that Jesus is something unique and Jesus is something special and something's going on, and his instructions are based on his authority. So what about these things that Jesus has said to do are you doing? Because he's God and I should be following God and what he teaches. Jesus tells us to put out into the deep and to let down our nets and to not be afraid and to show ourselves as a testimony, to get up and go, to follow Jesus, to come when he says come, to be healed if he says so, to love as the emblem of his coming victory. Do you live like that?